Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ezet Hashem Power Word Share number 110. And we're going to continue with the positive word power, building a better world with the words you speak. And in this share, we're going to talk about the relationship between a parent and a child, a teenage child. But we could learn the lessons here regarding any relationship between people, husbands to wives to husbands, co-workers, and children, parents to children, children to parents, and so on. We're going to start off with the scenario, and as you listen to this, we know that it may be a particular anecdote, but it'll resonate a lot in our own lives in our own way, and we can learn from it. So here is the anecdote, the story, which I'm going to quote from the Sefer. As Tzipora lay in bed reviewing the evening's events, she found that her heart was still beating hard. The anguish aroused by the latest battle with her daughter was slow to fade. How had she gotten caught up in such a pitched battle? How had it devolved into screaming and recriminations? She thought back to the earlier part of the evening when her daughter Dina had just come home from school. Dina had not greeted her mother. She just dropped her books in the corner near the front door, threw off her coat over the back of the living room chair. "Can't you say hello, Tzipora?" the mother demanded. Dina responded, "I had a bad day. I'm going to my room. Don't make me supper. I'll take my own later." Mother responds, "And leave me with a sink full of dishes? Oh, Dina, you come and eat with everyone else, please." Her daughter had turned on with eyes that seemed cold and wild, and she screamed at her mother, "Stop it, stop trying to run my life, leave me alone." She screamed and screamed at her mother as if she was some evil stranger intruding in her life. Tzipora felt her adrenaline rush through her veins. What ingratitude from her own child, and the mother started screaming at her daughter Dina, "You little fool. How do you think you are? You're an angry, difficult, immature little fool. And someday you're going to be sorry for how you treat people." And Dina, the daughter, hadn't emerged from her room since then. Tzipora, the mother, quaked at the thought of what her troubled daughter might do next. And why did she let loose as she did, adding kerosene to the fire? So this is a painful interaction that I think we all can relate to, either experiencing it ourselves or vicariously in different ways. It's a very common thing. And no one really wants to be unhappy. That's the bottom line. So because no one wants to be unhappy, one would think that everyone would avoid hurtful words as much as possible. One would think that if people would analyze situations that lead them into conflict and realize that battles often begin with a sharp, harsh criticism, with a cruel label. And then what happens is when you yell at somebody, the victim, the one who received that verbal lashing, defends themselves by using the same very weapon. And then what happens is pain is inflicted on both sides, and forgiveness seems to be impossible at that point. So why do people set foot in that path? If we think about it, the answer is impulsiveness. The Yetzer Hara functions best when people react before they think about the long-term consequences. So as long as their goal is the monetary satisfaction, the momentary satisfaction of the little revenge that you could say, the sharp word precisely at the person who you are angry at, and it gives you that relief, you know, right away when you react, you yell and you relieve your anger by blowing up at that person. So I know this dvarim at that moment seems to make perfect sense. It makes it make perfect sense. It's unjustified. I was attacked and I'm lashing out. And I feel better momentarily by lashing out. But if you take time to consider, a few moments to consider how important the relationship is to the person's happiness. The relationship in this case between the mother and the daughter, or other relationships, every listener, you know, could bring it into their own lives, then one would hold that fire, seek another way to deal with the irritation of the moment. A person who realizes that his or her angry impulses will always lead them in the wrong direction They'll learn to turn a deaf ear to what impulses are telling them, and they'll think things through. So, in other words, to put in this lesson of what we talked about here is think of someone who or you often fall into conflict with, review it the usual way, in which the way the situation normally unfolds, and you start rehearsing other options where you could exercise in the next time the situation may arise, and you prepare yourself to handle it better, to handle it differently, to handle it more in a healing way. Similarly, the next lesson is very similar to this one. Again, it's an interaction between a mother and a daughter. And this is the interaction. Gitti, who is the daughter, always puts her cup right at the edge of the table. And if her mother notices, she will remind the child, Gitti, put it into a safer place, move it away from the edge of the table. And if not, she will clean up yet another spill. And the mother's thinking to herself, why doesn't Gitti ever learn to put the cup in a normal place? Gitti's mother's exhausted from a long day of work, and the dinner was punctuated by yet another spill. And finally, the mother just blows up, loses her temper. You're so careless. Why don't you ever watch what you're doing? How many times do I have to tell you to keep your cup away from the edge? She may throw in a lot of mean, harsh labels when she's yelling at her daughter. And it so happens that Gitti's mother frequently finds herself regretting something she had said. She tends to be critical, short-tempered, and therefore expresses her firm opinion about what's wrong with other people. So here it manifested by yelling at her daughter for being careless about that cup, but it's a part of her nature to be critical and short-tempered. And every time she guiltily recognizes the pain she caused, she tells herself she'll think before she speaks. But little does she realize, just like her daughter, she's making the mistake over and over again. Gitti's mistake was leaving the cup in a careless position where it will spill. And that mistake can be fixed by a quick mop-up. The mother's mistakes of yelling and screaming and castigating that way is harder to fix. A quick mop-up won't fix it. Now, why is it difficult for people to stop themselves before they say something they will regret? So we'll talk about the way it works here. Very often, like we just said, a lot that passes through a person's mouth and lips over the course of the day comes from the category of impulsive speech. In other words, the mouth and brain are operating simultaneously, almost like a fountain that keeps gushing forth its water. Now, under certain circumstances, because you want to impress another person or you don't want to get somebody angry or have them think of you the wrong way, then you have a filter. All of a sudden, the flow of words passes through a filter before it reaches the tongue. Oh, I'm going to be careful. I'm going to watch myself. I want to impress that person. I want to treat them in a way where I won't get hurt. So you see that filter could be used. So the fact that filter of your thought process before it goes to your mouth and to say it, the fact that you have that filter disproves the belief held by many people that they say that it's beyond the ability of a normal human being to think before they speak. But that's not true. Speech originates from the brain, and before the words comes a thought, so therefore speech requires thinking. Now, we are used to involuntary process because we out of habit. We don't develop that conscious thought, but we have the ability to actuate that thinking, create that filter before it goes to our mouth to say it. So to avoid einas devarim, you have to dedicate your brain in filtering that output. And motivation is the key. We all have the ability to do this. Motivation is the key. So when you come to the realization that einas devarim is a negative factor in your life, you have to look at it in a different way. You have to be motivated and determined that impulsive, damaging words will not spill out of your mouth. Posting your sticky think before you speak, even. Put it as part of your davening to daven for that. Turn on that word filter. Use it every time you speak. And ultimately, you could break that habit and you could develop the habit of applying that filter before you actually say something. And Hashem will help you with this. You daven for it. You daven for it, like we said countless times. You have to put in the effort and do the shtadlus, but you have to daven beforehand. Ask Hashem for that siyat d'shmai and be motivated to want to change. So in other words, the way what you tell yourself is that I will give serious thought to the ways in which my oinoas devarim damages my life and hurts the people around me. And I will try to build a strong motivation to overcome it, to create that healthy filter, and ask Hashem to give me siyata d'shmaya to develop that filter in a right, healthy way. So the key again is, which we talked about, this is sort of two stories and two lessons, but it's really the same theme. The idea is that b'pnimius, no one wants to hurt anyone else. No one wants to create this anger and aggravation and hurtful things. Everyone wants to be happy. And the best way to figure out how to do this is to avoid hurtful words as much as possible. And the Yetzer Hara functions in the way where you don't think of long-term consequences. Yetzer Hara works on impulses, impulsivity. Therefore, you think beforehand how you're going to deal with the scenario before it comes up. You ask Hashem to help you and you work through it. The idea being, again, is it's a bad habit that we just are impulsive in our speech and becomes involuntary because of habit. But speech does require thinking. And if we access that thinking mode and process before we actually say something, we will be able to develop that filter better. And again, the ratzon is the key. The motivation is the key. You think before you speak, you ask Hashem to help you with that word filter as much as possible. And that creates tremendous bracha in a person's life. This restraint, this using the words wisely. You'll get to have anah from saying words in a positive way and communicating in healthy ways to everyone around you. And it will bring a tremendous amount of bracha in your life. So please work towards davening to Hashem to work on that filter. Work on that filter afterwards. Do your shtadlus to work on it. Ask Hashem to help you to remove the impulsiveness and to think in that filter lens before you speak and say those harsh words that would create damage. And like we say, you know, the heading of this book is positive word power. Ultimately, you'll be able to do the other thing as well, which is to bring out with your words the most positive outcomes and the most positive motivation for people, to inspire them and to create an atmosphere of love and compassion and understanding with one another, within one's family and with the whole world. Bracha v'atzlacha.